Alante here. Before I start this week's episode, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this audio blog. Blacken and Grad School was created to encourage and empower women and people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy!
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode. And I'm super excited to talk to you all today. This is episode 40, yo. That's so amazing. And I'm so happy that y'all been rocking with me this long. It means a lot. So let's get to it. First, we have Lessons from the Trap. And I want to go back to last week's episode last week. So I actually called the song Streetlights by Daniel Caesar, but it's actually entitled Streetcar. Just wanted to kind of clarify that. Still an amazing song. Literally listened to it all Friday, like the whole ride to campus. It just was literally ministering to me. I love that song. But this week we're going back to rap, and you all know I am a proud Detroiter, and one of the many talented rappers out of Detroit just released an album, and Eminem came out with an album called Kamikaze, and I'll admit, I gave it a listen. I grew up, you know, loving Eminem. Like, I'm total, like, 90s, early 2000s, like, kid, right? Like, I was in middle school, and so me and my friends loved, like, Marshall Mathers and, like, all of his other pieces or albums from back in the early 2000s. And so it was kind of interesting that I was listening to the A-List on Apple Music, and Lucky You came on. I was like, yo, this goes, like, that's a really, really, really great song. And the lyrics that really, really spoke to me specifically and for our lesson from the trap today is, "And actually coming from humble beginnings, I'm somewhat of uncomfortable winning. I wish I could say what a wonderful feeling, like we're in the upswing, like we're punching the ceiling." And I really just, that resonated with me, because I know sometimes I get super, I do feel uncomfortable. And I think sometimes I, you know, I only can speak for myself, but, you know, that idea that, like, I really am achieving my goals and my dreams, and I won't say that it's easy, because it's not, but that it's not like this, I don't know, it doesn't feel out of reach per se. I almost sometimes do get uncomfortable, and I'm definitely someone who's hesitant to share my wins with people around me, because some people are having a harder time getting to their wins, or they did have a harder time, but they're at their wins. And for some reason, I get a little nervous about sharing it, because I'm not really like a braggy person. You know, I really like to believe that I am humble. And sometimes, instead of just talking about what it is I do, like, I minimize. And it's something I've been working on, honestly, in therapy, is like, it's just, some stuff is just fact. You know, like, this is not even some cocky stuff. Like, you know, I think when I first started this podcast, I talked about how I wouldn't even share what I'm getting my PhD in. And that has certainly changed, because I'm not saying the program to be like cocky or anything. Like, I don't know. I do think that people perceive engineers and PhD students and AKAs is snobby, you know, and it's like, geez, you know, I'm all three. But guess what? Those are facts. These are things that I have done, that I desired and am working towards. And it's not my problem anymore if somebody has an issue or makes assumptions about the type of person I am because of what I do, based on their experiences with maybe other people or what they've heard about other people. So the point is, though, with this lesson from the trap is, I feel this, even though I am trying to get away from it. I definitely feel it. And it's like, yeah, sometimes I wish I really could say what a wonderful feeling, which also reminds me, wow, to not be appreciative about what I have been, that I've earned and also God has given me. And so, like, what a shame that is to not just fully enjoy it. So I really liked these lyrics. And it's a really good song. I mean, it also has like some pretty witty lines, like, I got a couple of mansions, but I ain't got no manners. That was hilarious. I really appreciated that and some other stuff. So definitely check that song out. And that'll wrap up Lessons from the Trap this week. And so just an update from the first week of school. OMG. The second year, I just feel like I've already come into it way more relaxed. And I think because I've spent the summer really working on my, I mean, I've been working on some serious stuff in the background. And I think one day, you know, maybe I'll share, maybe when I turn 30 or something, I'll share like all that I've learned in this last year about myself and what I've been kind of going through, like I said, in the background, which is like more so personal stuff, but like how I perceive myself and what I think about myself. And that has also changed the way that I think about others. And so I just went into this year, I think, just feeling less stressed. Granted, it was the first week, but I just feel like I have a better handle on what's expected of me, what the workload looks like, and how to maneuver around it to get this done. And I just feel a little bit more established, you know, and I'm more confident, honestly. Like, shit, I made it the first year, so let's just try this again, you know. And I'm happy about that. And even I think I'm a little bit more social. Like last year, I was not doing anything even remotely social with people in my cohort or in the university setting. Like the moment it was time to like relax and do something fun, I was like, why would I want to do it with y'all? And not because I didn't necessarily like dislike the people in my cohort or in my programs, because that's not true. I just wasn't interested. And, but this year I've already been to 2 social events with people in my cohort, and it's only been the first week. Granted, a lot of these are official things, but I wouldn't even go to the official stuff. Like I just didn't want to go. So honestly, I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that, at least with working with my, colleagues, the people that are on the same level as me. Now, I'll admit I am still slightly awkward with my professors. Perfect example, I was at our back to school, like our barbecue for one of my departments, and I was talking to my advisor, and I mean, he ended up talking to me, and I was like, oh crap. Like he stood next to me for like 3 or 4 minutes. I'm like, shoot, I gotta actually have a conversation. So I go, oh yeah, this is really great, you know, I came last year. He was like, I'm sorry, I don't remember. And I just was like, I mean, I didn't expect you to, but I didn't have nothing else to say. Like, it was weird. Oh, he asked if I was enjoying myself. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I've done some talking. He's like, did some talking. And in my head, it's literally, like, when I come, it's like, Alante, you have to talk to people. You have to be social. And I admit, I mean, the people I was talking to, like, are people I actually rock with. So it wasn't, like, super uncomfortable. Some of the people, you know, I'm getting to know. And I'm like, let me not just talk to people that I actually know. Let me be social and meet new people in the department. So that was what I mean when I said I did some talking. I'm like, yeah, I did some talking, chatted up with some people. And then I end up talking, because I'm in a joint program, I had to apply to the second program. And admittedly, I kind of, like, waited a little while to do that, just because honestly I just trying to get through my first year. So I'm technically a first year in engineering and public policy. However, I'm literally in classes with the second years. I took all the classes last year with when we were all first years. I was in all the first year EPP classes. I'm just officially a first year because I'm officially admitted into the program. So I was talking to the lady who handles all that, and I had never met her. We had been emailing all summer, and she's like, yeah, you're one of the first years. I was like, I mean, I'm taking Barbie, so, like, am I really a first year? I feel like I should at least get 1.5 designation. And she kind of looked at me like, I guess. Like, and it was like I feel like I got a little spicy, because she was like, I mean, you're a first year officially. I'm like, but I've taken all the classes with the second year, so I don't feel like a first year. Because it's like, I don't know, I almost feel like people trying to play me. But see, that's that mentality that's holding me back. Like, nobody, it doesn't even matter, right? Like, I'm taking Part B. I'm doing the things that second years are doing. Does it matter what I am on paper? No. But, you know, I've been feeling like people trying to test me. Because somebody's like, hey, first year. Like, don't treat me like I'm really a first year just because I'm on the first year email list. I've been in these classes with y'all. Y'all knew that I was not in the program and I had to apply. And there actually was, you know, some stuff going on that delayed my application. That's not y'all business. But just know, don't be coming at me like first year. I'm with y'all. I'm on y'all level. That's probably where all this is coming from. You all are just hearing me speak it out loud finally and work through that. So yeah, that the point is that still I feel like I got a little spicy with one of the staff members. I don't think she's faculty. And then also, like, it's just still awkward. So I still kind of avoid them. So maybe next year I'll be comfortable with everybody. With that being said, today's episode, I really want to do kind of a deep dive into the master's versus PhD conversation. I know that it's application season, or that it's really coming. And for those who are considering applying to graduate school and they're kind of like, oh, should I apply for master's programs versus PhD? I just wanted to kind of have a discussion about the difference between the two, the pros and cons of the two, and kind of maybe some ways to think about your approach to this grad school journey. And so, just so you know, today's topic does come straight from a free email course I created called Get to Grad School. So if you're planning to apply to grad school and you're feeling like you're not sure where to start, or you've already started and you're like, am I even doing the right stuff? Am I on the right track? I think this course would be perfect for you. It's goes over the course of a week, and I take you through finding and picking a program, requesting letters of recommendation, and a guide to writing your personal statement. If you're interested, you could sign up at blackeninggradschool.com/apply. First thing I want to talk about is this really amazing illustrated guide to a PhD. It's from Dr. Matt Mite, and I'm sure you've seen it online more than once. And so really the idea that you have like this circle of all human knowledge, and with every piece of education you get, your little piece of circle gets bigger. So like the first ring is elementary school, the next ring is high school, the next ring is college. And then in the college ring, the master's little pop out of that master's ring, right? So you get a lot of general knowledge in the at the bachelor's level within some sort of specialty. So the master's degree kind of deepens that specialty, and so it kind of like extends out towards like the ring, the final ring, the circle of our knowledge on that topic. You are halfway between what everybody what the most there is to know and like the most important stuff to know, kind of, right? So that master's degree is you deepening your knowledge and having like a specialization in some particular space, some discipline, some piece of discipline, right? So sometimes when we hear disciplines, we think of like majors. So if you studied, I'm going to have to use an engineering example. I'm sorry, guys. So if you happen to be studying like electrical engineering, and you got your bachelor's degree in electrical engineering, you have like a general understanding of like circuitry and how circuits are in buildings and stuff. But then if you go to the master's level and you want to know about how you can use electrical engineering, I'll use even like James work, for example, to test bridge strength and like vibrations and like making some sort of like contraption with that use electricity to monitor bridges. He now has a specialization within electrical engineering on like bridge monitoring, right? And then at the PhD level, you take it a step further and you go and figure out like kind of all there is to know about bridge monitoring through a vibrational contraption, right? Like that particular thing. And so then you're like, okay, there are like these three methods, and this is what's wrong with these methods. I'm going to try a new method. And then you make a little, like a little bump in that boundary. You push that boundary and you figure out the method that is going to be better than all the other three methods that existed before, or an improvement upon one of those methods. And it literally is a little bump, but you are an expert in that space. You've extended the boundary of human knowledge, and that is what you do at the PhD level. And I also, an example I use is like, you know, a PhD is really like throwing a stone into a pond. You're not, it makes a wave and it makes a difference, but it's a small piece of the bigger picture. But it still has a lot of merit, and it's very important. So what do you gain from these advanced degrees, specifically the PhD? The ability to work independent, critical thought, perseverance, the ability to work with poorly defined goals, and effective communication. And a master's degree does equip you to some extent, depending on the structure of the program, to gain some of those skills. But it's a different level of use that is required at the PhD level, which is why there's a difference between the two, right? So once you have an understanding of the difference between those two, you have to still think about, like, what exactly are you trying to accomplish? Do you want to be an expert on a topic, or do you want to gain some more knowledge on a topic and be specialized and be a specialist, where you kind of know where to get the information from and you have like a good enough idea that you can answer certain questions or help figure certain things out and be paid better for it? Or do you want to be like the authority on something? And I think that there's still a difference. And I think you really need to think about the end goal, because I know most of the time, I think PhDs aren't necessary. I know that's kind of weird to hear you say from me, but even I can admit that I think with what I originally wanted to do, I didn't need a PhD. I looked at the people who have the jobs that I want, and they didn't have PhDs. So why did I decide to do it? Number one, I wanted to. And that was something that was a personal goal of mine. And I think there's nothing wrong with it being a personal goal. There are a lot of people who do that. But I do think that you want to have a deeper why than just because I want to. So I do have a deeper reason. And this has been, I think, noted in a couple of interviews over the summer and before, is that I recognize that that unfortunate truth that I have to work twice as hard and be twice as good to get the same things. And so also, all the people who had the jobs that I want do not look like me. They are old white men. And I just felt like if I want the same jobs as them, I need to have more education, I need to be more qualified so I can have that job. Now, I also do have aspirations for academia, and the only way you get paid for real, you know, is with a PhD. I'm definitely guilty of this. When I got my master's, was I'm not ready for the workforce. I don't really want to go to work yet. If you are trying to use a PhD to say, well, I don't know what I want to do, I'm gonna just get a PhD, that is such a bad idea. Because what you might find out that you actually like, or that you don't, you might find out you don't even like research. And so what are you going to do with that PhD and spend all this time? You know, even if it was free, let's still talk about the opportunity cost and the value of time that you've lost completing, you know, this level of education. So I would say, if you need some time, I guess get a master's, not a PhD. It's a little bit more acceptable because you're taking a couple steps up the ladder, like up the corporate ladder, by getting a master's. And you're kind of increasing your competitiveness over a relatively short amount of time, because it's not like a 4-year or 5-year or 6-year program. You know, most master's programs are like 1 or 2 years now. So maybe you can kind of get away with that, but I wouldn't even do that, honestly, because it's a lot of work. And then the last thing I want to talk about is kind of the pros and cons of a master's and PhD as it relates to time. So if you're thinking about going straight through from undergrad to a PhD, you know, just recognize what you are committing to. That means you might be 21, 22, 23, and you are going to stay in school for what, another 4 to 6 years? And so you're going to be, you know, 26, anywhere from 26 to like 28 or 29, and you're finally a real adult. I mean, and don't get me wrong, all through that you're an adult. But there's a buffer, and there's like a, there's a comfort and a protection of academia and being in school that just isn't like the real world. And so I kind of had both experiences because I did go straight into my master's program after undergrad. So I was 23 and I finished when I was 25. And so when I started working, I was like, oh my gosh, yo, being an adult is a lot of work. Like, it's hard. Like, this is not easy. And a lot of my friends had kind of already got 2 or 3 years ahead of me on the adulting thing because they went straight through, they went and got a job after, immediately after finishing their undergrad. And that part was like, okay, how did y'all figure that out? So it's cool if you have good friends who will help you and, you know, work it out, and help you get your budget together. They've had 2 or 3 years to learn about investing. I didn't pay that any attention when I was in school. I'm like, I don't have any money, it doesn't matter. And so I didn't, or I had enough just to survive. So it was like, I didn't really know about that stuff and I had to learn it. And I'm 3 years behind in investments where a lot of my friends already have, you know, at least tens of thousands, if not, you know, I'll say tens of thousands of dollars already saved in their 401k, and I got zero, you know? And so then when you think about that over a course of a PhD, if you're 22, that means you missed the first 5 or 6 years of some heavy investing and some really critical time. Because if you're younger, if you start investing earlier, the money compounds to a greater amount when you're older. So, you know, there's an opportunity cost there. Also, you're going to miss activities because you're busy with school or it's expensive. And the last point I wanted to make was, also, like, because of that protection, you can be a little bit immature, just a little bit more. You can be a little bit immature in school because you're in school. You don't really have to, like, face some of your own stuff and grow up because you still are in school. There's just, like, a different mindset about being in school versus being out on your own. And so I definitely felt that blow when I was finished my master's. Like, granted, I was 25, so it wasn't like I was super, like, I was 29 just out of school for the first time figuring life out. But if I would have stayed on track the way I wanted to at that time, I'd be 28 and that would have been my first time with a job. And granted, I do have friends who do that and they're fine and they're not like losing in life or anything. But there are just some social skills and some experiences they just haven't had because they've been doing the school thing now. But also they're done and they have their PhD and I don't have mine. So there's that as well. Next is taking a break. And so I also have experience taking a break because I stopped between my master's and PhD. And I personally feel like the best thing about me taking a break is that I got a chance to do some growing and I got older And I got, it was kind of like, if I'm going back, right? If I'm going to leave my job, I'm going to take a serious pay cut. I'm serious about this. There's no question in my mind about my commitment to my degree. Whereas if you've never had a job, you've always been broke. It has a different type of mindset. Like, I mean, I think I like this. I think that I'm going to go ahead and finish it off. And you also might take a little bit longer because you are young and it's like, well, I'll still be under 30 with my PhD. I can take a little bit more time. Another delay in all you know, these opportunity costs I've spoken about before. Where now, I am going to be 30 next year, y'all. And guess what? I'm going to get done with this PhD as quick as possible. I'm not here to play games and to figure out why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I know what I want to do. I know these skills I want to leave with, and I want to get out. That part, okay? I want to get out. I'm not playing. And I think for me and my maturity level when I was 22, 23, even 24, 25 was kind of like, oh, it's going to take me 6 or 7 years to do this program. It's fine. You know, I'm not in a big rush because I'm young. Where now, I mean, I'm definitely still young. Don't get it twisted. But I'm not, I have more focus. And I think that is really on my side. I'm not doing a bunch of like playing games with my advisors. Like, do they fit? Do they not fit? All like, nope, these things are going to work. I'm just more focused. And then some of the drawbacks are that I am older than a lot of my colleagues. So when it's time to do like black grad school stuff or black grad student stuff, I'm typically one of the older people there. And there are still people who are older than me, like obviously, but that part can be a little, I won't say frustrating, but just like I don't really want to go out because I don't want to hang out with like people under 25, if I'm being honest, just because I'm older and I don't really want to go lose my mind every weekend. I want to get my work done. I want to work on my podcast. You know, every now and then I want to go out, try something cool, but it's like the places they pick, I'll be like, I'm kind of bored. Can't really, it's just a difference. And if you are one of these younger people, it's no shame to you, no shade or anything. You're just younger and you have, and it's great. Like, I had so much fun during my master's program because I was still young and I wanted to do all this stuff. I was living in the middle of nowhere. I had a great time. But also, I wasn't as focused as I could have been. And I think that was a part of my demise. So there's that. And the young people feel like they have so much to prove. And I just be like, chill. Because I'm older. I've grown out of that part. And another drawback is, though, I am about to be 30 and technically I'm unemployed. And so a lot of my friends have really hit their stride in their professional lives and they're like making money, right? And they're like, let's go here and there and do this and that and do this. And I'm like, did y'all forget that I went from making, you know, money to not? Like, I can't come to that. I won't be there. For me, it's a lot of time. Like, yeah, so, you know, that trip takes time. And so, no, I'm not coming because I want to go to this trip more. And I have to be really, really protective of my time. And I feel like even this year already, I've been invited to stuff. And I'm like, put me down as tentative because I don't even want to disappoint people. Like, I was supposed to go to Iceland in this month in a couple weeks and I just couldn't phase it. It was like the flights were dumb cheap, but then I looked at the cost of things over there and I'm like, it'll be like the fourth week of school. I think I'm gonna just chill out and sit down. And that means I miss, you know, opportunities to hang out with my friends. And that part is tough, but this is all on purpose too. And it also, I think, feeds into my focus because I'm like, I'm not about to keep missing the fun stuff because I decided to be in school. So I'm about to get out of this thing. So there are some pros and cons of going straight through grad school. The cool thing is if you are younger and you finish your PhD and get a job, you're going to kind of meet your friends you're probably gonna be a little bit ahead of your friends salary wise, and everyone's gonna be about picking up around the same point, depending 60K. And your friends are starting to get there too. You know, you kind of meet them, everyone where they're at. They just have like years of 401k ahead on you that you missed out on. And that's kind of like the cool thing about when you get your PhD straight through. So I think that's it for me today about this whole master's versus PhD thing. I hope that was useful for you in thinking about what you're about to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with the gap year. I want to say that I have done a lot of my growing when I wasn't in school. And so I really liked that. And I liked the fact that I gained a lot of discipline through having a job that I didn't have before. So I hope that's useful. Again, y'all know that you can send me any questions you have, any requests for topics to alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. I know I have like a lot of websites right now. You're like, where do you want me to go, girl? They both go to the same website. So blkingradschool.com and strengthsnotstrikes.com both go to the exact same website. So you're not going to get anything different. So whatever's your flavor, go to it. Please remember to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @blkingradschool, and tell your friends, tell your mama, tell whoever, tell your people who consider themselves an ally about this podcast. I'm really, really, really trying to grow it, and every month we've seen growth, and that's amazing. And so I'm just asking you all as listeners to share it if you think that it's useful and for someone that you know. I hope you have an amazing week, and remember, grad school's tough, but you're tougher. Bye, y'all. I am so parched.
Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's ALLANTE @strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school.
Thank you.